All right, let's take your calls this hour with Tricia Barker as we talk about near-death experiences and those on the other side. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Tricia Barker with us. Tricia, tell us about some of your students who joined the military and died.
Yeah, so I taught a group of seniors in high school when 9/11 happened. So this was a very poignant moment. Many of these students signed up, you know, for service, and this moment was, you know, it was just life-changing for so many people. But to look out in a classroom of seniors and to know that this time I was telling the near-death experience story, and I'm very well maybe preparing someone who may die. And that was sobering. And I certainly, you know, took it very seriously when I told that class that story. And years later, I found out that a few of the students in that class had died, one in the military and one in a car wreck.
Sad.
Yeah, yeah. But then on some level, maybe I was meant to be there to, you know, offer comfort or some connection. Because I think when we hear these stories from the light, we begin to think about them more and we participate with our own experience in the afterlife, that it prepares us in a way.
Why is meditation, Tricia, so important?
Meditation is really, if you can calm the mind and you can get to those different brain levels, you know, where you aren't agitated, then you really can begin to connect with something beyond you. So a lot of people have to meditate for months before they feel that connection to something beyond them. But if you keep it as a regular practice, then you have more and more chances to connect.
And when you do connect, I mean, how do you know you've connected? What happens?
You know, it depends, and it's different for everyone, and it's different for me in different meditations. Sometimes I feel that, you know, I'll go back up to a realm where there's great healing. Sometimes I feel like I've been taken by guides to a certain place and given downloads or information or healing, you know, emotional healing sometimes, and that is a beautiful experience. Other times I've felt like it's more like a lucid dream, and that's a really beautiful meditation, you know, when you feel like you're flying around there with a hawk or bird and, you know, in that sky for a while. But a lot of times I think we just are opening to something that is greater than ourselves through meditation. And, you know, we need to disconnect from that chatter of the mind.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's start with Susan in Roseville, California. Welcome to the show. Hi, Suze.
Wow, hi, you guys. I have had a challenging 13 months with my mom being ill. And, I mean, my health has been really good, but a lot of things have been happening. And I was wondering what the angels see for me.
Oh, that's a
what am I supposed
question.
To learn from this?
Oh, that is such a beautiful question. And the first
thing I
see is like the pain in your heart. You know, like there's a sense of at the heart chakra. If you could place your hand on your heart and really just send love to your heart and let the angels send love as well. And what I see is this opening, that there's this brighter day coming, you know, that you have been through some difficulties and this has been challenging. And the more love that you give to yourself, the more that doorway to just better times it overall. But there's a sense of, I see you opening your heart to more. Does that make sense to you?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's teaching me something to appreciate what I had.
Yeah.
Prior.
And to appreciate yourself. Do you appreciate yourself?
Sometimes, yeah, I guess. I'm a very giving person, but, you know, I always feel I could improve. Does that make sense? I'm kind of critical of myself.
Yeah, don't be. I think that's what the message of the angels is. They're like, love yourself so much. Like, if you were to meet you, you'd give you so much love, right? Like if you were a stranger and they're like, why don't you do that now? Like, why don't you, as kind as you are to other people, why don't you just give that love to yourself?
Trisha, tell me about the connection with the angels. How does that occur?
You know, there's usually two angels behind people, and they stand in different directions, but they're often sending either intelligence or healing or some sort of message of rejuvenation or hope. But occasionally, they're humorous. It depends on the person and the situation, but in general, they are healing.
What is easier to tap into, something on the angelic realm or someone who's passed over?
You know, it takes a little bit longer, and that's why it is a little bit challenging in a call like this to get to someone's loved one, because every medium is different, and I tend to sense energy first. So I'll describe how that person feels inside, like what kind of personality they were, so mm-hmm. That takes a little bit longer. Angels just send direct messages, you know, telepathy. So it depends.
Are you a channeler as well?
Of that angelic realm, I believe so.
Now, how do you do that?
You know, you just open to it and you move your ego aside and you just say, hey, for the highest good, use me. You know, use my words to offer the right healing to the right person.
Next up, Jesus is with us in California, west of the Rockies. Jesus, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you so much for having the great guest and the team. You guys are doing an awesome job for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, and I love everything that you have to say. What my question is, let me make a brief comment. I lost everything. I'm a 62-year-old, and I finally had landed a job that I loved. And one night, I thought I lost my dog that inseparable with, and thought he got eaten by the coyotes or kidnapped. But he ended up being in the pound. But but I was trying to break into my own trailer, and the police came, and they took me down. Not arrested me, but they took me down on a 5150, which is a danger to yourself and others. As soon as I hit the teletype, the Navy fired me, and they banned me and then fired me. So I lost the golden ticket, like the Beatles song, and broke it in two. So I'm really having a hard time getting back into the mainstream. I'm a carpenter, but I'm also an artist and a creator. And the thing is that I just can't get over the hurdle, because the authorities took everything from me. 30 gun traditional gun collection I had since I was 15, and everything else, it was ruined. But anyways, I just can't get over this, what the mistakes that I made. So I blame myself for everything. I don't blame anybody for anything. I blame myself for everything. And the self-love that you're talking about is, I think, my biggest hurdle to get reestablished and go on with my dreams of, you know, being the artist and the creator that I am.
What do you recommend here, Trish?
Yeah, well, first of all, your energy is really good at a base level. But when you start thinking about the problems, you really, I just see your mind like going in circles. And, you know, there's that self-blame. And it's what I want you to do is just be more in the moment and try to tap into the energy of peace, even though your outward circumstances are not showing you peace. Because in order to tap into that creativity, you really have to switch into peace. And that is the natural flow of who you are. You're like a naturally optimistic, happy-go-lucky person, and these bad times have really thrown you off your natural course.
So, you know, with that, does he have to meditate more, or what's he do?
Yeah, so meditation is key, but also just being aware that your thoughts are not real. So even though that is the past and it really happened, you're recreating the situation by continuing to think about it and ruminating about it. And we all do this, you know. We all have pain in our past, and if you keep dragging it forward with you, then you're just living in that vibration. So I want you to find a way to, whatever it takes, whether it's listening to binaural beats or meditation music or just getting into this place where you really remember what it felt like before that happened, and you're bringing more of that energy into your life right now, and I believe that you can create a different life.
Hope it works out for you, Jesus. Next up, east of the Rockies, Aaron is with us in Louisville, Kentucky. Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Tricia.
Hi.
Yes, I wondered, did you have a life review, and what does unrequited love mean to someone who was very emotionally supportive to them? What does that mean to people in the long term?
Oh, do you mean like if a near-death experiencer saw that they were not loved, or that...
I was asking loved. About your, like, did you have a life review? And then my other question was just separate.
Yeah, so I think love is misunderstood here. I did have a life review, and what I saw was that love was sometimes an action, you know, like playing with pets, or I love this tree, or, you know, I was kind to someone, and that was love in action. Here, love is often misunderstood, and it's kind of codependent, I think, in a lot of romantic relationships. Like, to truly love, you just give, and you support others, and you know, nothing would be unrequited because you're just giving good energy and supporting someone as they live their life. And if they don't want to be with you, then they don't want to be with you. But here on Earth, people try to dominate one another, or they get fearful, and there's just a lot that goes on, in relationships. So I guess I just don't look at unrequited love as a bad thing. I just look at it as in a positive. You loved, and that's good.
And do you need to be able to feel this love in order for it to work?
You know, what you need to be open to is this flow of that unconditional love of God, because we can all face, you know, moments at work where people are competitive and horrible, or, you know, the loss of someone. And what we need in order to be sovereign is to realize, like, we all have access to a flow of love. And that's why I keep preaching meditation, because sometimes that cracks people open and they're like, it doesn't matter if that person doesn't call me or love me or want me, I've got this flow of God. And when you're in this flow of God, you actually become more loving and more attractive to people because you don't need anything from them.
Let's go to Sherry in Alabama. Hi, Sherry, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. I lost my father. It's been about 5 years ago. I'm in Alabama, and he lived in California, and I was not able to be there when he passed. I haven't really had closure.
I feel like your stomach gets, like, torn up in knots over this. Like, this is really deeply emotional for you, and I do feel your father's energy, and I feel like he understood your sadness, and he was sad too, you know, in the human form that you didn't have that moment. But as soon as he transitioned, there was this kind of gleefulness that he felt, like he was returning to this youth and this happiness, and he just wants to go, oh my God, I'm so young, I'm so free, I'm so happy here. Like, that he's wanting to tell you that he's, like, I'm getting chills as I say this. He's just like, you have no idea how fast I can run. And, like, he went back to childhood for some reason. I don't know if he just liked childhood, but there was this moment where he was just, like, running, because I guess he had suffered physically quite a bit at the end.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Sherry, you're very welcome. I appreciate that. It's got to be tough for a lot of people to not have closure.
Yeah. Yeah, and that one really got me, because there's more that I think her dad wanted to say, and, you know, there's just a little bit of time, but I think he mainly, you know, like, I just felt this desire to say, oh, my God, it's so much better than you realize.
And you take emails through your website, right?
I do, yes.
Okay, that's important for a lot of people. Next up, we've got Chucky in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Chucky.
Hey, Nori. Good afternoon. Good evening. Nice speaking to you again.
You too, Chuck.
Hopefully all your family is healthy and safe from this crazy pandemic we're going through. So my question was that last year I had prayed for half a year for my every Sunday, woke up before sunrise and prayed to the sun and to my ancestors. I did this for half a year. And after since I finished in December of last year, since January, I've been feeling a lot different. I've been feeling more conscious, the aware, lighter, like less weight on my shoulder, emotionally disconnected, yet being part of everything. And I've been having this weird dreams where it's a flashback when I had two near-death experience. One was I was getting robbed gunpoint, the gun jammed behind my head, and I heard the click, and I had this little flash. I didn't remember at that point, but you know, since now going through all that stuff, it kind of made me realize that what I seen. And the second time was I had quote unquote OD'd maybe in Seattle by the ocean, like the ocean side, and there's a 5-hour blackout gap. But towards the end of it, I've seen myself as I'm standing on top of a street light. I've seen myself walking on the sidewalk, and that snippet was only 5 seconds till I came back on Earth. Like I stepped out of it, and it was 5 hours later. I was soaking wet. Nobody could find me, even though it was a small park. Nobody could find me. I was missing for 5 hours. I was wet from head to toe, missing shoes, missing clothes items, and I've seen myself walking, you know, mindlessly. But I've seen myself walk. So maybe that was an out-of-body experience. Maybe it was just, you know, like blessing for my ancestors, angels. So I want to know if maybe whatever I've done in the past or the path I'm on, maybe I have a higher power. I'm not sure. Maybe that's my...
Well, what I'm getting is that praying to your ancestors, a lot of times they're sending us healing, and the lightness that you felt was actually a clearing. And you can say this. This is like part of theta healing. You can say, you know, creator, delete all pain, you know, or all... you know, all confusion from myself and my ancestors. So you can continue to pray like that and then give me a download of peace and of certainty and of clarity around my soul path. But what you were doing with praying to your ancestors opened up a space for you to create something new here and to really be in that space of newness. And then to your other point about those out-of-body experiences, all of this is learning. It's just information, soul information. And can I ask, like, what you thought it meant?
Been around death. I've been around death and stuff because, you know, I helped my cousin from hanging himself. I felt a soul leave when a woman hung herself. Wow. And I sat in the room where my best friend hung herself. You know, I helped the noose. I sat in the chair she used to, you know, kick from under her. I helped my cousin from hanging. Like he pissed the, you know, his bowel relaxed and everything. And me being small, he was, you know, twice as big as me. And I felt divine power, like me being lifted up and lifting him and bringing him down gently rather than him just falling because I cannot hold his weight.
It sounds like the things that Chucky has done have been very dramatic in changing his own perspective. Let's come back in a moment and wrap things up with final calls on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk about what's happening in Vegas. Bill Friedman joins us. We're going to have some fun. And then those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines, so make sure you're part of the program. And welcome back. George Norrie back with you. Tricia Barker with us. Her website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And when we were talking, of course, to Chucky out of Seattle, it seems like he's got it handled pretty well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think he needs to just tap into his abilities and really just take some classes, too, so that he feels empowered, that he's around other people who understand what he understands.
Let's go to first-time caller Carrie in St. Mary's, Kansas. Welcome to the show. Hi, Carrie. Thanks for calling.
Well, hello and good morning.
You too.
Both George and Tricia, thank you for sharing this moment with me. Yes, indeed. I find it fascinating, as usual, when I get to listen to you. But, yeah, I have many questions, and I'll try to just summarize them real quick because just as far as my own personal, both my parents have passed away 4 years ago and 7 years ago, mother most recently. So I'm just kind of wondering if I was very close to my mom and I was with her the last few years of her life, kind of taking care of her. And she spoke many times about how she couldn't wait to be reunited with her boys. I had an identical twin at my birth. And at that point, he lived about a week. We were both born premature and then passed away. And she also had a boy that did not quite make it full term that she missed her whole life. And she couldn't wait to see him when she passed on. And so that was one of the questions, is just if there's any contact with any of those. The second was I've with a girl for 2 years. Next month, and I'm just wondering if she's in my future. I believe so. And then also, I hear voices every single day. I'm wondering why and who they are. And so that's my
question. Right. Let's take the first one. Go ahead.
First one, I felt between your parents, I felt your mom jump into the realm first. So, you know, of course, you said you're close to her. So that's obvious that she jumped in, but what she said is a little bit interesting in terms of now she's reunited, you know, with the children that she lost, but it's you that she's missing. So she's like, I'm always missing someone. And so there's this sense of, you know, she misses that connection, and she often pops in to check on you, to be with you. And I'm actually going to ask her about the girlfriend. She has this sense of peace around it, as if this is a good presence. She feels like the woman in your life is good to you. And so, you know, moving forward is the right thing to do. She's like, if I'd been in body, though, she might have had some problems with her. But from the spiritual point of view, she's like, I like her.
And he's hearing these strange voices. He doesn't know where they're coming from.
Yeah, and I want to get to that, too. You know, one thing you can do is you can slow down, and I tell this to anyone who's encountering a spirit or anything, and ask, you know, just go ahead and converse with it. Say, are you a positive presence in my life? Do you have something to communicate that will help me? And you can envision being protected by the light, and if it's a spirit contacting you, it will be honest, and it will talk to you. If it's something negative, if you just imagine the light, it will go away.
Interesting. Okay, good luck to you. Carrie, thank you so much for being part of the program. I love our callers, Trish. Aren't they fantastic?
They are great. That was a wonderful call.
Next up, let's go to Ed, Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, George and Tricia. I'm really enjoying the show tonight, as always. And I have just a question or two. One, I'm interested in your opinion about reincarnation. I hadn't heard you say anything about that.
I've interviewed so many near-death experiencers who their bodies are so badly broken that they go, oh, I don't want to come back to that one. Let me just go back up here and get another one. So I think there's this sense of many of us have lived many lives, and part of the healing in this life is kind of like that release that we were talking about earlier, just imagining, you know, all of those experiences that we've had, kind of sending love and forgiveness to those experiences.
All right. Then we have Nathaniel in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Nathaniel.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call, George.
Thank you.
I've been listening for about 3 years and tried to get through this. It's the first time I ever have.
Perfect. There's a reason.
Hi, Trish.
Hi.
I'm calling in regards to my only brother was murdered last year. It's coming up to about the year of the date on the 16th or 17th of May. He was out meeting his friends for a turkey hunt, in a very rural area on a mountain, and all the evidence points to him being murdered, and we've searched and searched and searched all over that mountain everywhere and have not been able to recover his body.
Oh, jeez.
It's just been really hard. My question basically is if there's a way that you could find out maybe if he's still on that mountain, or if the person that was arrested in connection to this that is not admitting to any fault in this moved him somewhere, or whether he's still there, or I don't know. We just want to bring him home and lay him to rest at this point, you know.
Any closure here, Tricia?
What I'm feeling is he is still on that mountain, maybe towards the bottom of it. That's what he's showing me, is like, you know, not on top of it, but, you know, kind of hidden on lower areas, like where the mountain begins. And it's important to him, actually. Like, if you can find a psychic medium who does this kind of work, you know, who isn't afraid to go into that, I think your brother is willing to talk about this, you know, to go deeper with this and help, because he understands, like, it was very quick, so I'll tell you that. It was very instant when he left, and he felt, you know, it was, like, very instant. He felt no pain, you know, like, he was just gone. But his spirit understands, like, there's a problem.
Nathaniel, the person who was a suspect, was that somebody he went up there with?
No, it was somebody who we think has ambushed him in the middle of the woods to steal his stuff. He was caught with his vehicle, his firearms, his ID, his wallet, another vehicle that was belonged to a deceased older woman. I mean, we don't know if it was just one person involved, if there was more than one person involved in his murder. I don't know.
I'm feeling one. I mean, that's kind of, but there might be one other person who knows. So there might be someone who knows something about it as well, that, you know, maybe this person talked to. But I don't want to leave you with the impression that your brother's in pain. He's concerned that you're concerned, you know, and he's concerned that other people are left in this position. And he actually, I guess, who he was in life, he would want justice. He would want closure.
Yeah, imagine somebody gets killed because somebody wants his gear and his rifle.
Wow.
God, horrible. Thanks, Nathaniel. I hope you get the kind of closure you're looking for. And thank you for that, Tricia. Appreciate that. We've got Tony in Orange, California. Hello, Tone. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Tricia. Thanks for taking my call, and God bless. I've had a near-death experience when I was 19. I'm 61 now. And a lot of things you said really resonated with me. I've been able to notice when people are going to pass on who've been sick. And I've been able to help friends who, I'll see my father when I get back, you know, I'm going on vacation. And when I came back, I knew things of the path of my life, that I would be alone all my life, but don't be sad. I don't want any pity for that. And that I would randomly run into people and empathically, like, take pain away from them. And that's been the course of my life. There's been many instances where I've run into people, you know, coincidentally, but there's no coincidences, and just started talking to them and helped them. But what's odd now, being 61, it's totally gone. So my question to you is it my time to cross over? It's been a purpose for so long in my life, and now it's gone.
So, yeah, your story is a beautiful one, and I could sense the light in your voice the minute you said hello. And what I'm actually getting, and I'll just say it quickly and honestly, is I don't get that it's your time, but I get that you do need to look into something that is affecting your health. And it's not like you're about to transition or anything. I think you just, there's a medication that you need, but there's something that you need to get checked out. And then also when that fear leaves, when you realize, I'm just dealing with, you know, this problem, then a lot of that will return, that connection.
When you connect, Tricia, with the other side, How do you know you've done it?
You know, I've done it so much that I just don't question it anymore, if that makes sense. Like, if I stopped and questioned it, then I would be using the wrong part of my brain. You know, like, the part of me that's connecting has to just go connect.
Let's go to Joe in Monterey, California. Hello, Joseph. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Joseph, for taking my call.
Sure.
I do in-between life regression, and my clients do experience travel. I wanted to bring that up because people are listening, and they may feel like they're at a loss because they feel, why don't I have some – is it possible to have some of these experiences without dying? And some people can't astral project, but soul travel is possible under a good therapist. What's your opinion about people who do travel and also those who do travel the entire route of going into heaven and getting a review and going through the process of their guides and the councils?
Oh, I think it's awesome. I think more people should do it. You know, like I'm all for lucid dreaming and exploring these realms and exploring as much as there is to explore. So I love it when people are that open. And yeah, you don't have to die definitely to do that. I think, there's a lot of beauty that's possible.
Tell me more about the angel connection, Trisha, that you have.
Well, they surprised me. So these intelligent light beings were something that I had no concept of as an agnostic college student. I mean, now we have this concept of light beings because it's talked about so often. But at that time period, you know, I'd seen the angel paintings that had wings and they were around children. But I never thought that so much deep intelligence could flow through the beings. So when people talk about their guides or their angels, I often think, well, it's a higher intelligence as well as healing that's flowing through them.
Absolutely. Next up, we've got Mark in Fresno, California. Hey, Mark, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. It means a lot.
Sure thing.
George, Trisha, good show, I tell you, as everybody else does. I lost my dad. It'll be 2 years come the 1st of October, and he was trying to tell me something, and I didn't get what he was trying to say. The house was left to me up in Idaho. I'm in California. And I was wondering what he possibly could have been wanting to tell me, if there's a chance of finding out.
All right.
Should I move back to the town?
Any connections there, Trish? And what do you think about his move?
You know, I think that what came through first, and it's not always what people want, is just like, your father wanted connection with you. And so it's not so much that he was trying to tell you something, it's just that he always wanted to stay connected to you. And I think he wants to keep talking to you. So if you hear communication from him, he's going to try. Your father is an insistent person, and he's going to, even from the other side, he's going to keep trying to talk to you. And so I really encourage you to open up this, because many times we are the best people to hear our loved ones. We know their voices. We know their mannerisms. We know what they're trying to say. So I think you can access this.
Trisha, give out your website to folks, and Angels in the OR, where can people get that book?
Well, you can get it on Audible if you like listening. That's always a good thing. I didn't get to read it, but I had a lovely narrator, and you know, it's available everywhere that books are available. And my website is Trisha, T-R-I-C-I-A, Barker, B-A-R-K-E-R, N-D-E, as in neardeathexperience.com. And I do have a calendar for readings.
And, of course, you are available through emails. You want to quickly just mention your email address?
Yeah, well, actually, the website has a contact page, so it goes straight to my email, and I will try to get to those because I know these callers they only have a couple of minutes with me, and there's some I wouldn't mind following up with.
All right, Trish. Thanks again. Keep in touch with us. Trisha Barker, who's talking about angels in the OR, near-death experiences as well. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Benali, and Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.